morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. We are so glad to have you tuning in this week. My name is Hannah Scorer. I am the assistant curate here at St. James Westminster, and I will be leading the worship of the Word. Our music this morning is provided by Stephen Hollowitz, with our soloist being Victoria Piovesen, and we are very happy to have John Gardy, our sound engineer, in the building making everything sound great. If you haven't already checked out our website, you should do so. It will give you all kinds of information on where to find older files of these sermons, our service times, and other events that are going on around the church. And I will invite you now to take a moment to quiet your hearts and minds and prepare yourselves for worship. Grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered by your Holy Spirit into one, may show forth your power among all peoples to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Holy Gospel this morning is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We saw someone. Can you not just hear the whininess in that tone? It's times like these in the Bible that I remember very clearly that the disciples were just a bunch of teenage boys. We saw someone. Sounds exactly like the way you'd tattle on your younger brother or sister, or older brother or sister, which is exactly what the disciples are doing. They're tattling. Now you may be asking yourselves, well, maybe Jesus should be making a bigger deal of this. I mean, someone is doing the same miracle job as he is, but he's not following them. He's not part of their group. Isn't that sort of a problem? I mean, the disciples sure understand this principle of business. We should corner the market on miracles. We should have a monopoly on healing. If people are going to hear the good news, it has to be from us or someone vetted by us. I guess that makes sense to the disciples, and I'm sure to probably all of us. We want the people who do the same things as us, who profess the same identity as us, to do things that we would choose to do, to love and express that love the same way we would, and to give us credit for coming before. But unfortunately, that's not the way things work, and Jesus knows this. See, the story, while I'm sure it has some genesis in the reality of Jesus' ministry, it's really written more for the audience of Mark's gospel, because Mark is writing at a time when there isn't a cohesive and structured Christianity in the same way that we think of it. There's not even really a church in the same way that we think of it. we modern Christians may be splintered denominationally, but there is a certain universality to the things that we believe about God and His Son incarnate and the Holy Spirit. But that is not the landscape that Mark is writing into. Mark is writing into a time when Christianity is still sort of finding its way. And individual communities are getting different teachings from different leaders. So this story, you can see, is meant to have some bearing on that. But I think that it can talk to us today, because we don't live in a society that looks all that different. I mean, we have an overarching secular structure that has culturally diverse peoples within it, but is authoritatively run by a privileged group. We have old guard traditionalists who insist that doing things the way we've always done them without thinking is the preferred method of living. And we have a bunch of individual faith or spirituality or social groups that feel distrustful and competitive with one another. So it is similar. It's a similar community that Mark is writing into. Now, before I launch into what I think Jesus is saying to us with this gospel, I want to make one thing abundantly clear. I am not, nor will I ever say, to stop calling people out. Jesus would back me up on this one. This is not a gospel about saying that those who drop Jesus' name or who do something good should get a pass. Absolutely not. This is not that. If someone is doing something evil, like preaching about how class or skin color or gender expression or sexuality makes someone less human, or they are supporting ideologies that breed hatred of marginalized people, things like that, and still calling them Christian, you should absolutely call them out. But this gospel is not about that. This gospel is about the disciples seeing someone doing something good for the world, but not in the way that they want to do it, and getting mad. And this is what Jesus says to them and us. Life is not a competition. And as much as you think that that fancy house or all that money or power is winning, it's not. The parts of you that get selfish and sanctimonious when others are doing well, that is just fear. And you are better than that. We need as many people in the world doing good things, being loving and kind as we can to bring about change. And when you try to make their good deeds about yourselves, you're just going to get in the way of great transformation. I am still at work in the world, even if this person isn't in your church, isn't following your directions. And that's a hard thing to hear, because we're human beings and our ability to stretch our vision beyond our own perspective is limited, because we all have egos, whether we will admit it or not. And the way that we choose to do things is usually the way we think things should be done. And because, unfortunately, in the church, we are constantly bombarded with a claim for unity. Now, I don't think unity is a bad goal in and of itself, but I think we need to see that there's a difference between conformity and unity. Christian unity cannot be predicated on imitating dominant culture. Anglicanism cannot be predicated on assimilating to Britishness. We cannot judge our fellow believers on their ability to mimic our own paths to spirituality, and we should keep following Christ as our unifying attribute. This gospel, it's not about uniformity. It's a call for solidarity. Jesus is telling us the pinnacle of kingdom living is not us. We are not the example by which all others are held. I'm just me, a beloved child of God, a forgiven sinner, fearfully and wonderfully made, just as I am, with my own gifts to give the world and my own path to walk. And so are each and every one of you. The kingdom isn't about you looking more like me or me looking more like you. It's about all of us reaching across divides to hold each other close, to raise each other up, to share joy and sorrow in the best ways we can, and to see each other for who we are. All unique people, made one in the household of God. Amen. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.